It's Friday, February 3rd, 2023, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam B. Levine, here again with Adrian Blust for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, the view from Washington, top headlines, and more. And just a reminder, CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin, Ether, and other top-traded tokens are down this morning, in markets showing more red than green, as an eighth consecutive stronger-than-expected official job statistic pours cold water on hopes that the U.S. central bank will be forced to reverse policy sooner than later. A late Thursday price dip notwithstanding, optimism continued yesterday, wafting through crypto markets in the aftermath of the U.S. central bank's modest rate hike, which surprised few monetary policy observers. In an interview with CoinDesk TV's First Mover program, Mark Connors, head of research at Canadian investment manager 3iQ, said that despite its recent gains, Bitcoin is still trading below its 200-day moving average. Quote, "We believe that as we get closer to the 200-day moving average, which is a huge fundamental catalyst for Bitcoin, and we have no reason to believe it won't be again, that Bitcoin will see an even further move higher," end quote. Connors' comments dovetailed with a CoinDesk report that Bitcoin and the S&P 500 are approaching an easy-to-track bullish technical signal known as the Golden Cross. The Golden Cross occurs when the 50-day simple moving average moves above its 200-day simple moving average, producing a visible cross on the price chart. Ether, the second largest cryptocurrency by market capitalization, fared similarly on the day, dipping late to also pull back slightly from recent levels. Many other major cryptos declined to either flatten or also drop into negative territory. The token of Layer 1 blockchain Aptos plunged 6.5% to lose some of the ground it's gained so far this year, after rising more than any other token last month. Gala, meanwhile, the token of Gala Games play-to-earn platform, declined by 5%. Among yesterday's biggest winners, decentralized exchange's Uniswap native governance token known as UNI rose by nearly 4.5%, while the native token of the Avalanche protocol rose by 3.4%. Smaller tokens also saw gains before this morning's job number reset the board and pushed prices uniformly down. And speaking of the jobs report, let's briefly dig into that. Consensus expectations going into this morning's release was that the official rate of unemployment would remain around 3.6% and show roughly 188,000 new jobs created last month. The actual number that came in, with some caveats that we'll talk about in a minute, was a whopping 517,000 jobs created, meaning that the consensus among mainstream economists was off by something like 8 standard deviations, which is enormous and may actually be a record in this situation. As a result, the official unemployment figure dropped to 3.4%, which, while it isn't the lowest on record, it is the lowest since the 1950s, as the baby boom kicked up following the end of World War II. But how could they be so wrong, and is the number even real? That's a good question. One important note is that the Bureau of Labor Statistics does annual adjustments from the prior year, which last year were pretty big, and seasonal adjustments in January. And then, of course, if you're skeptical that official numbers coming out of a government which is judged by those numbers, especially when inflation continues to run at historically high levels even by official massage best-case scenario measures, you'll be forgiven for being skeptical. Zero Hedge, as usual, does a good job of aggregating some of the early reaction from Wall Street analysts who are uniformly shocked and a bit suspicious as well. We'll link the full articles in the show notes, but quoting directly, "Extremely hawkish," said the founder of 22V Research. Continuing, "But it is what it is, maybe some seasonal stuff going on or something that is not in the headline reading, but wow." Some more reactions. "Wow, just wow," said the global head of currency strategy at BBH. "Strong across the board, headline revisions, details all point to an extremely tight labor market," he said. "A stellar jobs report. The only caveat is that the BLS incorporates some annual revisions into the January report. That might make data more difficult to compare to prior periods than normal," said Academy Securities' Peter Cheer. Quote, "The January jobs report showed extremely robust growth, higher than the highest estimate in the Bloomberg survey," said Anna Wong, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Economics. Continuing, "If it seems too good to be true, that's because it is. The gain is mostly due to seasonal factors. Still, it can't be denied that the labor market remains tight. The Fed likely won't place too much weight on the report in formulating policy." End quote. And now back to my comments. And that's important because since the U.S. central bank finally admitted inflation was a problem that they'd allowed to grow beyond being easily dealt with, the allegedly strong jobs numbers from the headline surveys that we've seen have really been the only data points they've been able to use to suggest that raising interest rates by more than 1,500% in less than a year wasn't creating problems in the real economy. And this latest extremely strong jobs report by any standard, which comes as it seems like most major corporations out there are laying off significant swaths of their workforce, may be just what the doctor prescribed to convince markets that the Fed really won't stop raising rates this year, until next month, when, of course, we'll play this whole game again. But I digress. Yesterday, crypto-exposed stocks also soared, Exchange Coinbase surged by 24%, while MicroStrategy, the software company with a large Bitcoin portfolio, rose by 9%. Bitcoin miner Marathon Digital Holdings was up 6.3%. The positivity in digital assets suggested that, quote, "the bottom of this down cycle is probably in for crypto, and that we're entering something of a recovery phase for this market," the CEO and co-founder of crypto-focused insurer Realm Insurance told CoinDesk. Continuing, "both retail and institutional-grade investors are allocating more and more capital to crypto assets. This trend will likely continue if it becomes clear that the blowups that took down FTX, Terra, and Three Arrows Capital are over with," end quote. Meanwhile, the chief investment officer of crypto asset manager IDX Digital Assets said Bitcoin and the broader crypto market were, quote, "early in this bid for risk on assets. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a pause here for crypto while equity markets catch up," end quote. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk Markets Analysts James Rubin, Glenn Williams, Lila Ledesma, Jocelyn Yang, and Amkar Godbole. Bitcoin is currently trading at $23,344 per token. That's down a little bit less than 2% since our show yesterday, while Ether is trading at $1,637 per token. That's down a little bit more than 2.25% over the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Market Index. And speaking of the CoinDesk Market Index, we're looking at an absolute reading this morning of 1,111. That's down from 1,130 yesterday, representing a loss of just under 1.75 percentage points across top traded tokens on the day. Now, before we get to today's traditional markets update, let's take a quick look at some top headlines. First up, the UK's new crypto rules are part of a program of regulatory divergence from the European Union, the supranational bloc of which it was until recently a member. But some crypto advocates are underwhelmed by the extent to which the country is really using its post-Brexit freedoms to carve out a unique niche for itself. A policy paper published on Wednesday lays out how the Treasury wants to use power set out in the Financial Services and Markets Bill, a law which, from the start, the government billed as a chance to finally set independent financial rules. Quote, "the government will move at a pace to implement a more agile and more internationally competitive set of rules that will harness the potential of UK financial services to stimulate growth," the government's then economic secretary said in his opening speech on the bill in September, referring to other provisions of the law that roll back or reform all European Union legislation for financial services that remains on our statute book, end quote. With the EU set to vote imminently to formally pass its Markets in Crypto Asset Regulation, sometimes called MiCA, into law, UK politicians are keenly aware that they need to move fast amid global competition. Quote, "the EU has just agreed to a comprehensive regime for regulating crypto exchanges and crypto assets more broadly, and Joe Biden has said he's looking to do something similar," said the opposition's Treasury spokesperson at an October bill committee meeting, adding that the slow rulemaking, quote, "risks leaving our country behind in the fintech and blockchain race," end quote. Now, the broad thrust of the UK's approach, influenced by then-Finance Minister and now Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's 2022 vow to make the UK a crypto hub, has been made clear, but experts point out how similar the proposals are to the EU's framework. Quote, "this looks like it will mostly follow, at least in terms of scope and approach, what the MiCA regulation is doing," a senior associate at UK-based law firm Clifford Chance told CoinDesk. Continuing, "the UK is positioning itself with a regime that is as comprehensive as a European regime," end quote. Whatever discrepancies emerge between the two jurisdictions will be keenly watched by crypto countries looking for the easiest and safest places to do business. CoinDesk's Jack Schickler and Chamomile Shumba have more on this one. And now, here's Adrian Blust.
Thank you, Adam. Elsewhere, Core Scientific will hand over 18% of its crypto mining rigs, or 27,403 machines, to lender NYDIG in exchange for extinguishing $38.6 million in debt, according to a February 2nd filing with the bankruptcy court in the Southern District of Texas. Core, which at the end of December 2022 operated 153,000 machines for its self-mining operations, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy late last year. The NYDIG deal has yet to be approved by the bankruptcy judge. And they noted the agreement will bring substantial benefits because the value of the machines is lower than the outstanding principal, and the machines are no longer needed for its operations, Core said in the filing. In general, prices for Bitcoin mining rigs have dropped about 85% the past year, according to data from Luxor Technologies. CoinDesk's Eliza Gritzi reports.
And today in SamWatch, proposals for FTX and a committee of its creditors to subpoena founder Sam Bankman-Fried, his immediate family, and senior staff of the bankrupt crypto exchange have been opposed by the U.S. trustee, a branch of the Department of Justice dealing with bankruptcy. The plans, set to be discussed at a Wednesday hearing next week, would duplicate any independent examination of the exchange's downfall, U.S. trustee Andrew Vara said in a legal filing made yesterday. CoinDesk's Jack Schickler has this one as well.
In other news, does anyone really enjoy dealing with state motor vehicle department bureaucracy? California, which has the highest number of car registrations in the U.S., may soon be able to use blockchain technology to verify car titles and registrations. Quote, the partnership with the DMV is almost a perfect matchup of a system based on paper that has been crying out for more efficiency, Andrew Smith, president of crypto infrastructure company Oxhead Alpha, told CoinDesk's First Mover on Thursday. Oxhead Alpha focuses on advancing protocols, research and development, and is turning to the Tezos blockchain as to make a, quote, very clear case of better, faster, and cheaper, to the state, he added. This was part of the reason why the firm selected Tezos in the first place, Smith said. He mentioned it boiled down three areas: a responsible consensus algorithm, on-chain governance that can reduce forking issues, and an overall robust security model. CoinDesk's Fran Velasquez reports.
Meanwhile, independent developer Udi Wertheimer claims he minted a giant image of what appears to be a bald, bearded wizard donning sunglasses and promoting magical internet JPEGs on the Bitcoin blockchain via the controversial Ordinals protocol. His announcement in the Discord channel taprootwizards.com and on Twitter sparked further flames of division between transactional purists and NFT proponents. The block that minted the non-fungible token, or NFT, was mined by Bitcoin mining firm Luxor Technologies, which said it was, quote, the largest Bitcoin block and, quote, ever mined. As we mentioned earlier this week, battle lines were drawn when the Ordinals protocol, which is the latest volley in a decades-long argument about what can be stored on the blockchain and who, if anyone, gets to decide that, launched to some initial use. The new system built on top of Bitcoin renewed old lines of division between two factions: purists who insist on using Bitcoin exclusively for payments, and those who think that anyone who follows the technical rules of the Bitcoin protocol and pays the transaction fee necessary to post whatever it is that you're putting into the blockchain can do exactly that. Interestingly, in this case, the Taproot Wizard sketch that nearly filled an entire 4-megabyte block incurred no transaction fee. CoinDesk's Frederick Munawa and George Kaloudis have more details on this one in the show notes.
And finally, Satvik Sethi, MasterCard's former non-fungible token or NFT product lead, resigned from his role on Thursday, choosing to mint his resignation from the global payments company as an NFT. In a series of tweets, Sethi explained his decision to leave, saying that while it wasn't easy, he had long felt neglected by the company and wished to focus on Web3 and creating art full-time. Quote, at MasterCard, I was a victim of harassment and emotional distress caused by a series of mismanaged processes, miscommunication, and internal inefficiency. There were months at a time when I wouldn't receive my salary until I begged across the hierarchy for it, among many other issues, he wrote, noting that his resignation involved a difficult and drawn-out process. In response, he decided to mint his resignation letter as an open edition NFT through digital collectibles protocol Manifold, saying that 100% of the proceeds will go to survival. The project titled New Beginnings is priced at 0.023 ETH, or about $38 each. As of right now, 12 NFTs have been minted. CoinDesk's Rosie Perper reports on that. And shifting to traditional markets, U.S. stocks came in mixed this morning, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average ticking up 0.1%, while the S&P 500 mirrored that and lost 0.1%. The tech-heavy Nasdaq traded relatively flat. In Europe, major indexes also came in mixed. The regional Stoxx 600 lost 0.1%, while London's FTSE 100 gained 0.5%. Germany's DAX, meanwhile, lost 0.4%. And continuing to the east, Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index lost 1.3%, while mainland China Shanghai Composite lost 0.2%. Japan's Nikkei 225 bucked the trend, gaining 0.4%. And lastly, in commodities markets, Brent crude, the global benchmark for oil, was on an uptrend this morning, rising over 0.4% since yesterday to trade at $82.97 per barrel. Gold, meanwhile, took a sharp fall, shedding over 3%, trading at $1,898 per troy ounce. Today's traditional market coverage draws from MarketWatch.
Stay tuned for After the Break, and we'll take a look at the blockchain innovator's dilemma, or at least this version of it. We'll be right back.
Join CoinDesk's Consensus 2023, the most important conversation in crypto and Web3, happening April 26th through 28th in Austin, Texas. Consensus is the industry's only event bringing together all sides of crypto, Web3, and the metaverse. Immerse yourself in all that blockchain technology has to offer creators, builders, founders, brand leaders, entrepreneurs, and more. Use code MARKETSDAILY to get 15% off your pass. Visit consensus.coindesk.com or check the link in the show notes.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's B-Y-T-E.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece from Steven Eisenhower, who's the Chief Risk and Compliance Officer at RAMP. Our piece today is entitled, Why Real Regulatory Change in Crypto Has Not Happened. For years now, the compliance community has been consistently warned that a deluge of new regulations for all things crypto, which would see the industry forever changed, is coming. And yet, we are still waiting for even the slightest of rains. The only potentially well-informed, although imperfect, legislative efforts on the horizon, Europe's landmark crypto legislation known as MiCA, has been held up for a second time, apparently to allow for more time for translation. Instead, what we're seeing is redundant legislation being proposed to solve a problem that has been misdiagnosed for political expediency. This reflects poorly on the depth of knowledge that our regulators have on Web3 technology as a whole, and how competent they actually are in protecting consumers. Sometimes new technologies require new approaches to regulation. Let's consider what's wrong with the current approach, try to identify the real issues, and propose solutions to forge a way forward. Take, for instance, the so-called Digital Asset Anti-Money Laundering Act introduced by Senators Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, and Roger Marshall, a Republican from Kansas, in December of the previous year. The proposed legislation was presented at the Senate Banking Committee titled Crypto Crash, Why the FTX Bubble Burst and the Harm to Consumers. It would do little to protect consumers and would have done nothing to prevent what happened at FTX, as the almost singular focus of crypto-related regulations to date, a robust set of anti-money laundering, better known as AML rules, have been applied widely to crypto firms since before Sam Bankman-Fried even founded FTX. As evidence of the effectiveness in the application, we need only consider the settlement between Coinbase and the New York Department of Financial Services, better known as the NYDFS, which is only the latest example in a long list of regulatory actions taken against crypto firms related to anti-money laundering and sanctions failures. Warren's involvement in this bill and the wholesale mischaracterization of its impact is particularly surprising, given her strong consumer protection bona fides. Warren is alternatively vilified and praised, depending on one's political standing, for her leading role in the creation of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. To many in crypto, this is nothing more than a direct attack on the entire space. More likely, what we're seeing is all too common in politics, uninformed and desperate attempts to appear to be doing something, anything, in the aftermath of a disaster. Presenting more anti-money laundering legislation is easy and politically safe. To be clear, there are gaping holes in the regulatory frameworks for digital assets. Most countries lack robust financial regulations applicable to crypto firms in the areas of consumer protection, safeguarding of customers' funds, capital and liquidity requirements, concentration risk management, and disclosure requirements. The need to address these regulatory gaps is widely acknowledged and quite urgent. The problem seems to be an unwillingness of some legislatures to educate themselves, a surprising statement in the wake of FTX. This is all akin to a doctor that's unable to diagnose a patient's ailment, yet opts to prescribe antibiotics so they're seen as treating the patient. Not only is it dangerous for the patient, who may forego further tests in the false hope that they'll be cured, but it also contributes to a global antibiotic resistance. Prioritizing redundant legislation is similarly insidious, as it gives consumers a false sense of protection and further erodes confidence in global financial systems. If global legislatures are feeling overwhelmed by the body of knowledge required to effectively regulate crypto, they should take a methodical approach and rely on archetypes of successful financial regulation. I recommend looking at the EU's Payment Services Directive and its revisions for inspiration. Instead of fiddling around trying to determine the different types of market participants to which the resulting regulations could apply, the law should describe and create regulations for each of the activities in which they are engaged. The first step of the process needs to be to create a complete taxonomy of applicable products and services. Stepping through each defined product and service to determine appropriate rules will require politicians to educate themselves on the intricacies of blockchain technology and the varied services available to consumers, a net positive from the start. For example, any effective prudential regulation for crypto would need to differentiate between custodial and non-custodial services. Safeguarding requirements should apply to services involving the holding of a consumer's assets, but it would be hilariously ineffective and irrelevant for self-custodied assets. Disclosure and transparency requirements could apply broadly, but need to ensure informative and specific information is provided to consumers. There's no doubt that all of this requires a modicum of effort from legislators to educate themselves. But of course, it's far easier to attempt to push through yet another anti-money laundering bill. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions or comments, send the show an email at podcast@coindesk.com, or you can email me directly at adamlevine@coindesk.com. If you like what we're doing, we always appreciate reviews on Apple Podcasts or your preferred listening platform. This episode was produced by Adrian Blust and myself, with further support from the podcast team over at coindesk.com. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Markets Daily.